You are listening to WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.
The Paranormal News Insider from ParanewsInsider.com. Produced by WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.
Welcome to the Paranormal News Insider for January 31st, 2017. And yes, tonight is episode number 300. I don't know how I made it, but I made it. I'm here. And this is your host, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. 300 episodes. Well, we haven't made it yet. I guess still got another 59 minutes to go. But hey, we're here already. 300 episodes. Yes, it is a landmark broadcast. But before we get to festivities, we're a little late here, but, you know, the pre-party started. I can't wait to the after party. That's going to be some exciting stuff there. No cameras allowed. Well, this week's news includes alien abduction caught on satellite imagery. Weird story there. And we'll also talk about that psychic cat that fetches $83,000. And, yeah, we're going to be talking 300th episode, a little bit of trivia about the Paranormal News Insider tonight. So if you're interested in writing a Wikipedia page for the show tonight, you're going to get plenty of great information about the show, the history of the show, and a little bit of inside information about my experience on here on the radio and here on the show and some of the crazy, zany things I've done. And I've taken some questions that you have asked. Yes, you, the listener. And I'm going to give you some answers on some of that stuff. A couple I kind of waited probably a few months on. I don't know why. I just didn't get around to it. Sorry. But we'll answer a bunch of questions tonight, and we're going to open it up to the chat room as well. So if you're not in the chat room, you might want to, I don't know, get some pants on and get in there. It's going to be a lot of fun tonight. I think somebody's already opened the champagne. It looks like somebody's drinking something in there. I don't know what's going on, but it's going to be a lot of fun tonight in the chat room, and I'm actually going to talk to people in there. Usually I just kind of concentrate on what I'm doing and ignore that. But tonight we're getting into the chat room. But first, we got to do a little bit of business. This week's news is brought to you by Thomas Francis University. Thomas Francis University is a metaphysics school that offers online spiritually based bachelor's, master's, and PhD doctoral metaphysical degrees, as well as single standalone courses in related metaphysical and esoteric topics. Instructors are easily accessible and offer world-class customer service and instruction. TFU and other ICMH schools have hundreds of students and graduates in more than 50 countries worldwide. And for more information on Thomas Francis University, please visit tfuniversity.org. And I'm going to kind of skip through majority of my typical pre-stuff here, my opening material. But I do want to mention the Pennsylvania Bigfoot Camping Adventure. It is really gearing up. It's getting crazy. They've added a couple of other people. I don't have that in my notes here, but either way, you're going to want to get your tickets pretty quick. PABigfootCampingAdventure.com. The Pennsylvania Bigfoot Camping Adventure, the adventure of a lifetime. That's what they say. But I finally got Jay Baterton to put it in print. He finally did an advertisement for me that does what I've been saying for, I don't know, a few weeks, couple of months here about the Pennsylvania Bigfoot Camping Adventure. It will be intense. Well, he got it. He liked it. And he does all the PR promotional stuff, the posters and the website, graphics and the T-shirts and the nice little poster that they're going to hand out. They did that last year as well. And I can't wait to get one of those, even though I'll get one anyway. And I'm going to be signing a lot of those, hopefully, over the weekend. But PABigfootCampingAdventure.com. Check it out. Get your tickets now. The campground is selling out pretty fast. So you might want to get out there and get your spot today. So We're going to jump right into UFO news. This is an interesting story. I didn't know how to take it at first, if it was going to take this thing seriously or what. It was, I don't know, it was a little weird. And I normally a kind of story that I just kind of dodge. I just kind of like move out of the way and let it go by me and don't even mention it. But this was such an interesting story. And the more research I did on it, the more I really wanted to talk about this here tonight, because I do think it's interesting. And it comes from the United Kingdom. The man of the United Kingdom, well, he's finally been able to prove his claims that he's been abducted numerous times by aliens. It's always been a touchy thing. People produce little implants and scoop marks here and there on their bodies and always claim that this is definitive proof. Well, this guy, he ones up this. He's got some great proof. His proof? Satellite images, purportedly, not just of aliens, but of him fighting off an alien, plus three UFOs waiting to take him away. Were they successful? I don't know. Maybe they were. John Mooner of Devon in the United Kingdom cites missing time and his belief in UFOs as the driving force behind the thought that he was being abducted. But now he has photographic proof. Well, Mooner was having issues with his Google Earth cell phone app, so he used the one on his computer. And that's when he saw it. Mooner said, quote, "I was left speechless by what I saw. The satellite had captured a real alien abduction taking place. The shocking thing was it's me being abducted by a gray alien. And the satellite image clearly shows me trying to fight off the gray alien by punching it in the face." Unquote. Clearly? Well, not exactly. Not only this, but Moore was able to identify three alien ships that were just waiting to get him on board. Well, about this, he said, quote, "The UFO that appears to be at the highest altitude has a green light emanating from it and appears to be leaving a faint contrail with a red glow behind it. The other two UFOs are glowing white. I think that the UFOs were coming to pick me up with the gray alien. I was abducted, and this satellite image is proof." Unquote. Well, wow. I mean, what else can you say? I mean, that's proof. It's right there. It's black and white. Well, that's actually in color. Proof. I mean, you can't argue it. It's there. It's documented. Yeah. What do you say? I mean, he's right, right? Well, a website, ufointerest.org, has identified the three UFOs in question. They are actually reflections of glass verandas on homes. Huh. Using the satellite information, Scott Brando, an Italian forensic UFO investigator and operator of ufointerest.org, used historical images to identify these reflections as the source for the UFOs. Mooner, who claims to be the chief photographer for a website called World UFO Photos, also submitted a UFO photograph of a bright object that appeared to be leaving a contrail earlier this year. Well, this is demonstrated by metabunk.org, is nothing more than an out-of-focus photograph of a jet. Well, once you focus a similar image, you can clearly see the jet. As far as the picture of an alien grabbing Mr. Spooner's arm and he punching it in the face, well, there isn't a whole lot of detail. And despite him claiming that it's clear, I don't know, even if you squint and look at it across the room and turn it upside down, I still don't see this. I don't know where he's getting it. It's pareidolia times 1,000. I mean, I don't know. You can make the argument that it's patio furniture or a clown stealing a homeless man's wallet. I mean, anything could apply here. And there really isn't a whole lot of detail. And it seems that Mooner's imagination has got the best of him once again. And there was a couple of other UFO sightings, but not as entertaining as that one. Looking at these, these are probably just explainable. Nothing really major. And two here I'm looking at kind of fell off the planet. Nobody really mentioned them. So we're just going to jump into this awesome story. I don't know which is my favorite. At first, the alien punching the guy in the face, I thought that was great. But this one, this is one of those, I don't know, these every 6 month type of story here. Ghost news. And well, hold on. Let me throw a link there in the chat room. Can't ignore these guys tonight. throw a link there to the alien thing if you want to see those pictures of the guy getting, you know, punching that alien in the face. There it is. So this Russian cat, this Russian psychic cat, I should say, I want to give him due credit, Charles Utkins. Charles Utkins. No, that's not the owner's name. That's actually the cat's name. Well, Mr. Utkins is able to read minds. I'm not sure how the owner, Dimitri, knows this, but it sounds great. Dimitri also says that Charles Utkins is able to make him do things such as buy food that he doesn't want to buy. And he also says that the cat mysteriously appears from locked rooms. Well, I don't think this guy's ever owned a cat before. I mean, that's pretty normal, I think, for cats and even other animals, but especially cats. I mean, they can break out of anything. You can put them anywhere and they'll get out. I don't think he's, again, I don't think he's ever owned a cat. Well, a clairvoyant from Novosibirsk, Russia. I'm not very good at the Russian stuff here. It's about 4,500 kilometers away. And that would be about 2,800 miles here in the United States. Same distance, though. It just sounds less dramatic. Well, she's decided that she wants to buy the cat. And she shelled out 5 million rubles. Sounds like a lot, but if you went to the bank, they would only give you $83,230.15. So I guess the ruble doesn't go very far. Well, that's a lot of money still for an animal that will, I don't know, probably just show you its butt when you ask it to come closer. And Mr. Utkins might be psychic, but I think Dimitri is the genius here in this one, getting out some extra money there for and saving on cat food too and cat litter. 83 grand for a cat. It's pretty good. Egyptians would be proud. And that's all I've got on that one. I mean, can't really drag that one through the kitty litter too much. So I'm going to throw a little linky dinky there in the chat room. And we're going to move to a little bit of 300th episode. It's weird. It's just weird. I mean, I don't know. When I started out, I never thought I would make it. 300 was actually one of my goals to shoot for, because if you don't have goals, it's hard to do this grind week in, week out of looking at all these stories and breaking everything down and doing the research, emailing people for information just for a line in a show that's only going to last a couple seconds, and spending all that time doing all this stuff. It is a grind to do any kind of radio show, whether you do research for it or not, or whether you interview people, you have to read a book for a guest, or go through the booking kind of part, whatever it is. It's not easy. I was the first guest on a show May 2008, for a show called The Grand Dark Conspiracy, hosted by Dan Bouts. The show is a monthly show, which is kind of weird to say, but that's just what we did. And it started, I was the first guest, and Lloyd Auerbach was the second guest, followed by John Kachuba. And John Kachuba wrote the Book of the Week last week that I mentioned, who is a well-known author here in Ohio. Well, I returned again. There was another guest, actually a couple of guests on the next show, and I returned in September. And from my appearance on through to the last guest was all ghost-related stuff. So Dan kind of wanted to switch gears, and he wanted to bring me in to help do that. We talked cryptozoology, UFOs, and some of the popular news stories that were going on, including the Georgia Bigfoot hoax, which was at the time the biggest story going on in the paranormal. It was really in the mainstream media at the time as well. And after we finished up recording that show, we kept talking about doing a paranormal radio segment, and he finally said, okay, let's go for it. Go ahead and do it. And gave me the green light to do whatever I wanted. If I wanted to do a half hour, he was fine with a half hour. And I just chose about 10 minutes at most. And most of my shows were at the shortest, maybe 5 minutes, but usually around seven to 10 minutes. And that's when it was born. And at the time I was the Anomalous News Coordinator for Paranexus, and so I was paying attention to the news going on. And also with Paranexus, I was one of the members of the Anomalous Evidence Advisory Board, which is a group of people that would review photographs, videos, audio evidence, anything submitted for any type of anomalous case. And we would do different kind of tests and look at these kind of things and gather information and data, which really, really helped me to be able to identify certain things that I see now here in the news. Not that I had never had experience before, but working with people that work in government agencies or have access to extremely expensive different types of analytical programs to help you, and some of the world's leading EVP experts that aren't household names to help out with stuff like that as well, really helped kind of get me ready for this show, I guess, unofficially. And I don't know. As far as the news, I've always paid attention to what's going on and with all the fields. So I just felt that the show was a great fit. And I could use my knowledge and experience to give the listener the reality behind these stories. And it may not seem like it, but I do this stuff for you guys to teach the next generation or the people that are around now the reality behind what all these things are and what's really going on out there from the inside. And that's why they call it the Paranormal News Insider, based on my knowledge and experience to help document these stories going forward, and then as well as looking back on these years later. And I thought the show was a chance for me to make a positive impact on the whole subject of the paranormal and continue to connect myself so I was aware of what was happening. It's kind of like putting pressure on yourself to maintain knowledge in current trends by doing a show. And it's been very rewarding, I think. Although I've spent hundreds of dollars on websites, hosting, equipment, not to mention the hours spent putting the show together each and every week. Well, the Grand Dark Conspiracy went to a weekly format at the end of September of 2010, and I was a little nervous. I wasn't sure if I could do that. It was a lot of work already to do a monthly show, even for 10 minutes. Breaking it down, looking at this, I did 4 shows in 2008, 12 in 2009, and a total of 23 monthly shows prior to going weekly. And like I said, I was a little nervous. It was, you know, wow, a week to put all this stuff together. But I think it's actually worked out much better, and I'm glad that we did that. At the time, though, ParanewsInsider.com, which I'd launched when the show launched, I was kind of doing a blog as I was going through with each story. And I just felt I couldn't do that any longer. So the website's been static. Doesn't really change all that much. 2011, I did 52 shows, 49 in 2012, and 43 in 2013. And we've changed networks a lot of times, you know, just that's just kind of the radio business. If you're running a show, sometimes it, unfortunately, it just happens. And 2014, we made the jump to AM station WQTT out of Marysville, Ohio. And we had taken 8 months off. So I did only 22 shows in 2014 and 23 in 2015 until the Grand Dark Conspiracy, which changed its name to Darkest Hours Late Night. Kind of went on a hiatus. There was an issue with WQTT. They decided to fire the program manager, and there was a kind of an internal shakeup. And he made the smart move. Dan just decided to pull the plug on May 28th, 2015. And I'd already produced a show, I think, for the next week. And we were supposed to come back in July of 2015, but it never happened. And I thought, you know, I've kind of thought about that I would just stop when Dan stopped, when he was done, and just kind of go back about my business and keep doing other things. But I don't know. I wanted to keep doing it. And I did try to get with other networks and with other shows to have the show broadcast on other shows. But I was either ignored or told the idea was something that they weren't really interested in, which is kind of funny. Because there was one show that was running a paranormal news segment a couple of weeks after I sent my email, which they'd never done before, which I thought was a little strange. But then they stopped doing it after a couple of weeks because it was pretty horrible. And I decided, well, I wanted to get the show as a pre-recorded segment on somebody else's show. So in case Dan did come back, then I could easily put that on to another network or his show as well, and just change some of the pre-recorded parts to match for his show. But I don't know. I think people were a little afraid of that. So I decided, if you can't join them, beat them. And September 8th, 2015 is when I made the debut here on WCJV. And speaking of which, you are tuned in to WCJV Digital Broadcasting from Youngstown, New York, emanating live at WCJVRadio.com, and you're listening to the 300th episode of the Paranormal News Insider with your host, Dr. Brian D. Parsons. And I do want to mention real quick, be sure to tune in tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. Frank Lee and his co-host, Donald Davis, will be talking paranormal tech and investigation advice to help add to your already existing skills and add a few more to your paranormal arsenal repertoire and your investigation methodology. So that's going to be a really informative show. I got to get my beauty sleep, but I might try to either way, I'm going to listen to that if I got to listen to it tomorrow. Tonight, Paranormalities and Ponderings with host Frank Lee and co-host Donald Davis, 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central. Always a very informative show. And if I had to say so, I know Frank always says this, you know, sharpen your pencils and bring your notepad. That's exactly, I think, the best paranormal tech out there. Something to write down. Document what you're doing. That's my 2 cents for his show. 2 seconds of that. But back to the 300th kind of behind-the-scenes thing here. September 8th, 2015, I made my debut here on WCJV. Now, I mentioned Frank Lee's show, Paranormalities and Ponderings, and I'd appeared on the show, I think, once or twice. I don't know. And Dave Considine, who was also a co-host on Darkest Hours Late Night, he was also a guest there. So it was kind of neat to kind of share in that. And so I felt comfortable with Frank, and I liked the way his show was produced. And I had a chance to talk to Cindy, who produces all the shows here on WCJV. And I kind of felt that if I'm going to do my own 1 hour show, which was, or maybe 2 hours, who knows, if I'm going to do it, I want to do it right. And I want to do it with kind of control, because I know some networks, they kind of control your content. They kind of control other things that you're doing. And I'm not a big fan of that. And I know that's kind of radio, but I mean, I'm not Howard Stern or anything. I don't have that kind of background and everything, but I really felt like I wanted to control the way I do things as far as the show content and format, and just be able to do what I like to do in the way I want to do it, especially for the people that continue to listen, that have been listening for years. And so I don't know. It just felt like it was a good fit for not just myself and the show, but also for the network. And let's see, 250th show was about a year ago, January 26, 2015. And tonight, actually, yeah, it's 300th show, but it's technically only number 70 here as far as a standalone show. And some people ask me, well, why didn't you just start over at one for when you came to WCJV? And well, it is a different format, but I went from a monthly show to a weekly show. I went from Mondays to Tuesdays to Fridays, and a few Wednesdays here and there, and I've done some shows live during the Grand Dark Conspiracy, so I've kind of changed anyway, and it's still the same show. Now, my first show was 6 minutes 29 seconds long, and I talked about the Georgia Bigfoot hoax, the search for Yeti with the Yeti Project Japan, Rex Gilroy on the Yowie, and we talked about the MUFON reports of UFOs attacking people in Brazil. Brazil vampire lights, or the Chupa Chupa story. Also talked about the San Clemente, Chile UFO trail, the Mothman Festival, and a couple of conventions that were going on. So as you can see, that was the first show, and I still talk about conventions because I still think it's important, and I still think it's a good piece to continue to do. And I've added Book of the Week when I came here to WCJV, which I think is probably the best segment I've done. I've done some other segments that I thought were going to be good, and I thought we're going to be beneficial, but it ended up causing some problems with people that were listening. And somebody, here's just a couple of questions I'm going to run through real quick here. Somebody asked me the name of the song that intros the show. They weren't able to find it. I don't know. I think it would work with software, you know, that listens to songs. But anyway, it was actually chosen from a handful of songs that I downloaded from a podcast safe network. Because if you don't have permission to play stuff, you get in trouble. And I've heard a lot of shows that are just independent that play stuff that they shouldn't be playing. And I wanted to have everything ready to go when I started doing the show back in September. So I'd had a website, and I wanted to have the bumper music, the intro, the outro, and different things. But the band's name was Antarabay. Really hard to pronounce. Antarabae. Antarabay. They were a hardcore metal and punk band from Long Island, New York. I'd never heard of them until I downloaded this, and I really got into their stuff. Really good stuff. The name of the song that I play is called Investigating the Phantom Signal, and it's from the album And Our Hearts Beat in Our Fingertips Without Reason. And that album was released June 20, 2006. And you can get that from Triple Crown Records. You could probably get that for like 24 cents online right now. The song Investigating the Phantom Signal is an instrumental track. It's probably, if you listen to this album, it's kind of like the love ballad. Everything is really hard on that. But music was a huge part of the Grand Dark Conspiracy. And I kind of took that influence. And when we were able to, I played a lot of songs. We got deals with Rounder Philo Records with one of my favorite artists, Ray Wiley Hubbard. Probably never heard of him. He's a country guy, kind of an outlaw country. And he was nice enough to respond to email that we sent. And he said, go ahead, use whatever you want. Just let people know who's singing it, which I thought was really cool. And, you know, you get some people like Metallica who would scream and yell if we even mentioned that. But great guy. And then, of course, we got in with Frontiers Records, who is a label for Journey and a lot of other rock and roll bands, Dokken, Asia, Taiketto, YNT, Lynch Mob, Winger, Whitesnake, White Lion, King Cobra, probably about 500 more. So September 23rd, 2014, the song Don't Stop Believin' made its debut as the outro song, but it wasn't permanent. And I've used it every now and again as an outro, but ever since I moved to WCJV, I wanted something that was a permanent part of the show and that would be kind of the, I don't know, just to define the show. And whenever you heard that song, you thought of this show. And the first song I ever used that wasn't a podcast safe song was Wheel in the Sky by Journey, which is a couple of weeks before that. And another question, why don't you have guests? Well, that's a good question, but I actually have had a guest, believe it or not. You weren't listening, I guess. Audrey Hamilton, who's she's enjoying her event tonight. Yeah, so I gave her a pass from having to listen live. She's out in Erie, Pennsylvania with her group, a meetup group, listening to Nick Redfern talk. Hopefully that's all going as planned. Kind of wish I could be there, but the weather's horrible here between here and there. But hope she's having fun there. But she was the first and only guest here. She was talking about the MUFON conference in Erie, Pennsylvania, and she supplies the MUFON sighting statistics. So I felt if I was ever going to have a guest, it would be somebody who's contributed to the show in a very positive manner for a while here. So, but the Paranormal News Insider was part of the Grand Dark Conspiracy 2-hour radio show. He had guests. So it really wouldn't have made sense for me to have guests. And my focus has always just been on the news, conferences, conventions, even though I've expanded the time frame. I don't want to change the format. So many other radio shows have guests. I want to stick to what I'm doing. And if I did have guests, they would pertain to the stories and things. Another question here that I really like is about my sign-off. I didn't think that people would actually pay attention to that. And this person wants to know where I came up with that and how long I've used it. Well, I never really thought of a sign-off initially, to be honest with you. The way I did a pre-recorded show, I just recorded a basic outro and just used that clip and just stuck it on the end of every show. I know that's cheating, but that's kind of what we do here in the radio business. But my first outro was talking about the message boards that I used to have for the Paranormal News Insider, which no longer exists, and the Grand Dark Conspiracy. And I said, I'll see you there, and I'll see you next month on the Grand Dark Conspiracy. For the Paranormal News Insider, I'm Brian Parsons, which is kind of weird to repeat that again. But 2 years later, I added here on Fate Radio. We're excited to be a part of that for over 2 years. And on December 30th, 2013, we kind of went on I think it was our first hiatus. And I wasn't sure at that time. I didn't know what was going on, if we were going to do another show or what. And I was willing to just hang it up if Dan quit because, you know, it was just a perfect fit and everything was great. So at the end of that show, I was doing the top 10 paranormal news stories of 2013. And at the end of the show, I just finished with the story and I didn't say another word. And I let the Lonely Man theme from the ending of the television show, The Incredible Hulk, if you're familiar with that, but if you heard that, you would instantly know what that is. And I let that just play out at the end of the show, which I thought was really cool. Kind of made a little statement. A couple of people were freaked out by that. But the show, again, returned after 8 months on August 5th, 2014. And after that, I just kind of went with, for the Paranormal News Insider, I'm Brian Parsons. And I first said, this is Brian Parsons reporting, which I thought was kind of cool. Since I'm doing a news thing, I kind of wanted to add that in there. I did that on September 30th, 2014. And the current one that I do now, which is kind of, I don't want to say lengthy, but I like it. It's fun. It's interesting to do. And I kind of ripped off Casey Kasem, who says, keep your feet on the ground and keep reaching for the stars. I mean, everybody knows that. And I thought, you know what? I want to have my own. So that's kind of why I created that and why I do it each and every week. And some questions here. Good question here. What were the favorite and least favorite stories you covered and why? Well, it's really a hard question since I've covered pretty much on average about five topics for the last 299 shows. But I don't know. Last year, the supermoon scare, crop circles. Let's see, one I did on the Loch Ness Monster, I think last 2 years ago. Any story that I can share a lot of research, prior research or current research, to me, that's fun to do because I get to teach and I get to, you know, share something that hopefully somebody out there has never heard before about a subject that people are usually pretty familiar with. But as far as a single one, I would say the Merman story from September 29th, 2015, episode 234. And it wasn't until episode 258, March 22nd, that I was able to reveal the truth that it was actually for a citywide art project. And everybody was stumped about that. It was really captivating. It was so ridiculous. And everybody knew it was fake, but nobody had an answer as to what. Stories I don't like. Well, I'd have to say, I don't know, maybe the one about anytime that people are doing stuff that is stupid or that really puts harm for the paranormal field, such as the that paranormal group that was smoking marijuana that burned down the, was it the Lebeau plantation in Louisiana? That was really hard to get through that one. And just like I mentioned, stories that never have a conclusion, like the car dealership in Vinita, Oklahoma. Eight cars were damaged, and one looked like just somebody just tore it to pieces. They've never released an outcome on that. It's just really annoying. That and when I have to talk about certain people who do harm continuously and create hoaxes and fabricate information consistently. On especially the cryptid field, I'll just throw that out there, that people still will follow and people still have respect for and invite to paranormal conventions and conferences, even though they've demonstrated that they've lied over and over, over and over. I mean, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. I think George Bush said that first, right? No, he didn't. So another question, why did you ever get into getting the truth out there in the first place? Well, I think the Paranormal News Insider is kind of an extension of who I am. And yeah, other people could do a paranormal based radio podcast, but for me, this is a perfect fit because this is what I do anyway with the news and when I'm investigating cases or researching topics for other people. And when I came back from a hiatus from running my group 2003, I left in 2006. I came back. I didn't work with other groups during that time, but I kind of just stepped out of running my own group. I realized that getting upset over what other people do and were not doing, I don't know. I wasn't going to allow it to dictate what I did anymore. So I wanted to do something about that instead of just complaining like a lot of other people do. I wanted to make a change, make a difference. I wanted to write books, write blogs, become a presenter, and share the reality of what was going on out here without just a YouTube video or trying to get on TV or any of that stuff. And becoming a part of Paranexus was a huge deal for me because it was something bigger than I was and taking these giant leaps and getting out there and talking about this stuff. So this show gives me kind of my own personal podium to stand behind where I can show my knowledge and experience and just kind of influence the anomalous fields. You know, people come and go, but the show, 300 shows, hopefully there are people out there that I've influenced over time. Have you taken much harassment for your opinions? Every now and again, but I don't really pay attention to people that are unorganized with their arguments, I should say. And when I do my research, when I talk about these things, sometimes I'm a little nervous to say that there's a logical outcome, or kind of hesitant to really say, well, that's not what you thought it was. It's really this. But it's become a lot easier because I'm just doing it because it should be done. And I know it's not always the popular opinion. And I suppose my punishment for this is not having a million listeners, because I don't tell you what you want to hear. I tell you what you need to hear, what you should hear, because it's the truth, as far as I can tell. And no matter where these stories are going to take me, no matter if it's definitive proof of a UFO or a ghost or anything else, wherever that data leads me, that's what I'm going to talk about, and that's how I'm going to present it. So love it or hate it, I'm just speaking how I feel is the truth. I'm not trying to be skeptical about this stuff. I'm just trying to present it in a way that's as balanced as it can be. And unfortunately, to balance things, you have to take the heavier side and add a little bit more weight to it. And the believability is pretty heavy in these fields, which it has to be. It should be. I'm not saying it shouldn't be. So I have to add a little bit more skepticism than I really like to have to do. So some people don't like that. And like I said, if I do receive emails, sometimes people want me to talk about some really, really out there stuff. And I just kind of ignore it because, you know, this show is for the whole, more than just the few and the individuals. You know, I try to get the stories that apply to a lot of people. And another great question here, where do you see the different fields headed in the future? It's usually kind of the thing that we get. If you do a wrap-up show, people want to know your predictions for next year, your predictions for this and that. Well, I think this is a good question to revisit each and every year. You just can't answer it once. Each field is affected by issues that plague it. And these issues, if not addressed or if they're not able to change, it's going to make them pretty much a non-factor. You know, fake videos, fake pictures, fake stories, all this stuff continue. One would think that nobody's going to ever take this stuff seriously, but I don't know. It kind of heals itself. But I do think that if the cryptid field doesn't stop allowing hoaxers and hoaxes to perpetrate this, it's never, ever going to be taken seriously. To me, it's one that can really be heard a lot more than the others. And as far as the ghost field, I think specifically psi phenomena will continue to become more popular with professionals, scientists, and other people in various fields dealing with the mind and psychology and things. And hopefully it's going to become a little bit less popular with the amateur people in the groups. But eventually major breakthroughs are going to be leading to some pieces of the puzzle to help us understand about ghosts. And it's not about small little increments. It's about giant findings, big things that are going to change stuff. And once those big findings come out, I think it's really going to help different things come into context. And this one here, I really like this. I don't even know who this person is, but they asked a really good question. What is the craziest thing you've done on the air? And prior to getting on WCJV, when you're on an internet-based radio station, you can pretty much, for the most part, say and do whatever you want to do. I think I've sworn a few times. You can swear on that, the kind of stuff. But I chose not to. I just wanted to be marketable, I guess, and kind of avoided that. But there were some times where it just kind of fit. One thing that I think I've done since I've been on WCJV, and I'm sure a lot of the listeners remember this, especially the people that are tuning in each and every week, about the Batman thing, that October 18th, 2016, episode 286, the story was related to a bunch of guys who dressed up as superheroes in the United Kingdom, and they do kind of visits to visit sick children to make them, you know, cope with whatever's going on. And for the story, I just mentioned that I asked him for an interview, and he actually showed up in the studio, and I did the voice. And obviously, the voice was mine. Batman really wasn't there. I hope nobody thought that. And the reality behind that is a friend of mine and I, we've been kind of doing the voice at work and just kind of playing around with it, and just certain context of if Batman worked where we worked and how he would go through everything. And it was just kind of something that we did, and it just kind of carried over into the show. And I thought it was pretty fun. Pre-recorded shows. I think one of the most outlandish things I've done, you might not have heard this before. October 28, 2013, way back, episode 179. I found out, I'd already done all this, but I found out that Grand Dark Conspiracy, Dan was going to take the night off. And when he heard about what I did, because I email him the file each week, when he heard it, he instantly said, I don't care what I'm doing, I'm going to play this. And what it was I was doing a regular episode of the Paranormal News Insider, a pre-recorded segment. Then all of a sudden, I cut it off. And I was doing a live Skywatch with some friends. And I recorded it. The way I recorded it was supposed to just allow it to play out. But Dan kind of cut in before I cut in and just kind of made it like he was freaked out about this, and kind of he really played it really well. Unfortunately, that version is gone. I don't have access to it, but my original recording is still there on the paranewsinsider.com. You click on the archives link, and you can hear all these archives all the way back to episode one if you want. It sounds horrible, but you can listen to all these. And it's kind of cool because I use actual sky noise recordings, which that one actually they found out what it was. It was a scraper that was scraping the pavement of a skate park up in Canada, but it sounded cool, and it was like panicky running, and it was a really good thing. And I had always wanted to do a little segment like that, and it just kind of ended abruptly, and I thought it was cool. A couple of people were kind of freaked out by it, but a lot of people laughed at it and thought it was pretty cool. And another kind of zany thing I want to mention is I did some skits called What If, and they were historical looks at paranormal news, or what if the news actually turned out a certain way. And for this, I actually created a fictional character. I know this sounds creepy and sounds like I need therapy, but a guy named Rex Ritter, who I started actually used him as a voice for a friend of mine. He did rap albums. His name is Rick Sickman, and the album called Invasion of the Sickness. I use this voice as kind of that 1920s, 30s, 40s-ish kind of voice to intro his stuff, and I decided to use that for the show, and it was kind of a pain to do all that, to produce that, but still fun to do that show, and it was really interesting. You don't hear that kind of stuff on the radio anymore, and I did that a couple times, I think. Episode 76, August 29, 2011. I also did September 16th, episode 192, where he counted down the top three stories of 1927, which was really cool. And I did another one. I don't know why I did this, but I think because of people like the Rex Ritter thing, and I didn't want to go to that well too many times. I only wanted to do it a couple of times. I invented another character, a guy named Bert Williams, which is weird. He's from the 1970s, and you got to listen to this. Episode number 160. He read a story from 1973 on Bigfoot, trying to find Bigfoot back in that time. He had a sign off. It said, I'll catch you kids on the flip side on the rebound, and I will certainly check you later. But I had to use a lot of software to get him to sound the way he does. But I don't know. It was pretty funny. And another question here about the first thing I've ever done on the radio. Is this the first thing you've ever done on the radio, and how did you get your start? And do you have any tips for somebody wanting to become a DJ? Well, that's a lot of question, but for me personally, quickly, I was fortunate. I have a friend who is in the radio business. He's a DJ in Texas, and he still is, and he's been on numerous radio stations. So I was able to go down there, and he showed me around the radio station, and I had a picture of it here somewhere. Let's see, right here. This is the first radio studio I ever got to use the equipment. I'm going to throw that one in the chat room. Well, that's not the picture, but that's the link here. Maybe I get the picture in here. Copy image address. We're going to put that in the chat room as is. And this is a studio called, it was WK, or no, I'm sorry, not W, it was KMIL, AM 1330, down in Brenham, Texas. And they played country oldies. And we went in there in the evening, and he showed me around, showed me the boards, how to work the boards, how everything worked. And then, well, we were, you know, this is the mid-90s, so I was a little younger. So we went out, we did what guys do and on the weekends, and came back about 4 o'clock in the morning. And, well, I was sober, wasn't drunk, but I went on the air and I thought I was just talking to cows and I was just trying to get used to being behind a mic because I'd never done it before. And suddenly the phone lines lit up and everyone was really excited to actually hear a living voice on the radio at 4 o'clock in the morning. Cause normally it's just pre-recorded stuff. And, they were excited about the stuff I was playing, some old country stuff that was, kind of outlaw country. So it's kind of like my first crack at it. And as far as doing the paranormal stuff, probably around that same time, there was an old website. I don't know if it was GeoCities or something on Yahoo. They had a program that you could use and go on and have your own radio show. It was horrible. But I tried that. I didn't like it. And that kind of left a bad taste in my mouth. And I almost didn't ever want to come back and do a radio show. But I was invited when I was working with Paranexus, was able to go on their show, Paranexus Universe. I was a guest a number of times and finally was a co-host on there, and I eventually hosted my own shows where I got to interview Benjamin Radford and Jody Cook and a few other people. And also when I, with Grand Dark Conspiracy, I got to co-host there a number of times, got to interview people like Stanton Friedman, Lloyd Auerbach, and a lot of great, great people to, which really helped me is I'm not big on the interviewing part because I don't know. I like to, it's, I become interested. I want to ask questions for myself instead of a listener. And I know I get a little carried away, but as far as working, becoming a DJ or working in the radio business, it's far different than what you're hearing here on this show. I mean, this is just a radio podcast. Essentially it's a radio show because it's live and a podcast is when it's recorded. So technically this is a radio show, but if you're listening to this recorded, then it's actually a podcast. But there's a lot of things you should be doing that you should do if you're going to get into the radio business. And the hardest part is listening to yourself talk. I hate that. I can't stand that. But you can work through some of the vocal issues that you have. And I have my own tics. Everyone has tics when they do this stuff. The ums, the ahs, and the different things that you do. And you know, you have other people listen to it as well. It helps you out. But if you want to work in a radio station, probably the best advice I ever got came from my best friend when I was trying to get into a radio station. But the thing about the radio business is it's very cutthroat and it's very unforgiving and it doesn't really pay very well at all. But you get to meet, if you're into music and you're in a good radio station that plays the genre of music you like, you get to meet all kinds of great people and go to concerts and get free beer and stuff. So that pays off. So it's a little bit of entertainment kind of taken out of your paycheck, I guess. But as far as advice, go in and apply at any radio station. It doesn't matter what the format. Yeah, it does help if it's something that you like. But if you want to get in the door, you just got to get into a door. And if they won't hire you or they don't have a position, then go back and volunteer. Go back and get them coffee. Ask if you can make copies for them. Ask them anything you can do. Sweep the floors. Take out the trash. Whatever you can do. Just volunteer and keep hanging out there. Keep talking. Keep asking them questions. And eventually, you'll get hired. I mean, yeah, it's all about the voice. And it's just about getting used to being behind the mic and not being afraid to screw up. I screw up every week. And I don't care. I don't think about it. I don't worry about it. It's part of the thing that you do. And I don't really work all that hard, for what I do. I mean, I could be at the, I don't know, Jim Mallard level. I mean, he's been doing this, I think, longer than I have. And he's a good influence. He's been around since the early days when I started doing my segments on the Grand Dark Conspiracy. But yeah, listen to other people too. I think that helps. And now for the first time, like in a long time, I'm actually looking at the chat room, which I don't normally do because, I don't know, I get distracted and I start reading and I scroll and then I stop talking and kind of forget about where I'm at or what I'm doing. But, you know, I enjoy this feature. I enjoy having a chat room attached to a radio show. I think it's good because it brings your listeners together in a common area, I guess. And it's better than a message board because message boards, you know, you can go days or weeks without people replying to anything. But if everybody's gathered into one little room like this, you know, they become kind of a unit as well. It becomes part of your show. It's kind of separate from what you're doing, but they also talk about, you know, things that in between them. And sometimes it helps a host if you're having a guest, or maybe your guest didn't show up that night, or your guest is really boring and you decide to pull the plug on them. Then that's it provides you some, I don't want to say fodder, but it provides you a little bit of stuff you could just like pick and choose. Hey, I want to talk about this or that. Somebody's talking about in the chat room, or, you know, if you forget something and you're like, I can't remember the name of this guy's name. What is this guy's name? You know, I always do that. And if I hear a show, you know, if I'm not participating, if I hear the host kind of, I can tell when you can't remember a name or something, I'll just look it up real fast and shoot it in the chat room there to help them out. Cause I know how that's like. And, I don't know. Was I ever lost for words on the air? I don't know. As far as stories, I mean, I already know what I'm going to talk about, or how I'm going to talk about it, or kind of my angle on it. So I'm not really lost for words on that. I mean, I've had some really outlandish questions asked. I mean, sometimes, I don't know, like if I'm being interviewed, sometimes there's questions that you're not prepared for. I guess, and I think Jim Mallard's the guy that does that too. He'll hit you with these really questions from that you're just, whoa, you're not prepared for. I think it was this show. I don't know, Jim. I haven't been on your show in like 8 years, but just kidding. Sometimes you're kind of left with, I don't know how to answer something. Or if I'm on a show where there's people that are, I don't know, true believers about everything, and you kind of want to be skeptical, then I guess sometimes I'm a little difficult to answer. Any story that made you step back and reevaluate everything? I would say every now and again when there's a story like these hoaxes and how people are just trying to ruin it for everybody, peeing in the pool, I guess, ruining it for everybody. You know, I reevaluate, you know, my part. What am I doing? Am I doing anything better than these people? You know, I may not be intentionally screwing something up, but am I actually adding anything to the advancement of the anomalous fields? And sometimes you need a kickstart. Sometimes you need, you know, to shut things off and restart it again to kind of focus. But I don't know. I think the hoaxes, and when people get carried away for some silly stories or silly topics, it just confuses you, and you're just not sure, you know, where are these people getting this information from, and why do they believe what they believe, and what can I do to help the next batch of people to kind of make things go in a better direction than some people seem to want it to go in. But I mean, I do reevaluate every now and again different things because I want to make an impact. I want to leave a legacy, and I'm one of those people. I already know. I'm not blind to the fact that I don't want to be famous. I'd rather be rich than famous. But I know I'll never have a show because I don't want a show. I'll never have millions of listeners on my radio show or anything like that. I already know that. Not that I'm trying to sell myself short. It's not really my. I would say it's not my goal, but it's I'm comfortable doing what I do. Let's just put it that way. I don't have the need to have millions of listeners or to be on Sirius XM satellite radio or whatever. That would be great, but it's not my goal. You know, I enjoy what I do, but I don't know. It's just Jim is great with the outlandish off the wall questions, but that's a good thing to do. It does. I think it's great because I've heard him do that with some people that I think pretty much rehearsed everything that they were going to say. And he just totally caught them off guard. And he just, it's a good way to kind of shake people up and get them to figure out what their MO is, I guess, or to make them relax. Because some people, they talk about how professional they are. They've been around. Then you get them on the air and they're so nervous. They fumble over everything. Speaking of fumbling, I'm losing my place here. Let's see, any story you wish you didn't cover? I don't know. Like I mentioned, I get, it's really annoying when you get a story like that Vinita, Oklahoma car thing, and there's never a solution to it, because the whole premise of my show is to bring you the truth, the reality behind what happens. And that was, I know I keep talking about it, so it's even worse, but you know, to me that was just a waste of time because nothing ever came about. And I was excited because I thought it would be kind of a cool story to say, yes, it was a dog, or maybe it was some drunk guy at the bar across the street, I don't know, or a wild pig, a wild boar, but we never had an answer. And sometimes some of the stories, like the clown pandemic of last year, I didn't cover that till almost the last minute because I really, really didn't want to, because it's one of those kind of social things where people were feeding off of it. And these kids were doing these crazy things because other people were doing it. And I really didn't want to glorify it or talk about it. Wanted to do my part as a responsible, I don't know if I could call myself a journalist, I guess I could, and call myself anything, I guess. But I wanted to be responsible about a story like that. And as much as I really didn't want to, it was big news. So you kind of had to. I couldn't ignore it. Let's just put it to you that way. But I just wish that wasn't as big as it was, because it's not really something I wanted to talk about, because it's just adding to, I don't know, it's just kind of adding to the garbage that's out there. I don't know. I think that's it. I don't see any more questions here. But, I mean, it's been a journey for me, 300 episodes. And I couldn't even begin to think how many people, especially people like Jim Mallard, he's been around listening to me. I've listened to his show. We have a mutual respect for each other, which we should, which we all should. I mean, there's just far too much competition and backstabbing and all kinds of stuff. An incident happened to me, I think last year. I was part of a message board, and really nice people, kind of uninformed people. So I was just doing what I do, trying to inform people. And somebody on there didn't really like it. I've come to find out he was a radio show host that was bashing me on the air. Not cool. I just don't get that, why you would do stuff like that. We're in the same business, yes, but we have the same end game. And I have a completely different format than what you do. And, you know, I don't like to you know, bash people by name, because it comes back to you. It really does. I mean, if you want to badmouth other people, just be warned that people are going to badmouth you. And it's a never-ending battle. And once you start it, you'll eventually lose, no matter how much you think you're going to win. And, you know, we could just serve to learn from each other or utilize each other for growing and for moving forward and for becoming better than what we are. Because none of us are perfect, or we wouldn't just be on a paranormal radio show. We would be doing the nightly news on CBS or Coast to Coast or something like that, if we were really that good. I mean, yeah, we all have to start somewhere. We all have to pay our dues or to move forward or do what we want to do before we get to that next level. But I don't think Dan Rather got where he was at by bashing people or making fun of people for not being able to pronounce words or things like that, or whatever else happens. It's people who stutter on the radio or fumble with certain things or repeat certain words that are really annoying that we all hear. You know, everyone has a vocal tic. One of my worst is saying, you know, I say that way too much. It drives me nuts. Can't stand it. But I do listen to myself over and over. Sometimes it's funny because I'll just be talking to you guys and reading a story or thinking of a story, and all of a sudden, I just say something really silly or just completely outlandish, and I'm like, where the heck did that come from? And I don't laugh, because I you just have to be, you know, the show must go on kind of thing. And I just keep talking. And then it's like, later on, I want to hear that. It's something that I did something with this, just said something about this Johnny guy once. And it was funny. And I didn't think anybody noticed it. And my mother-in-law said something about it. She thought it was hilarious. So I went back again. I listened to it. I was like, you know, it was pretty good. It's sometimes it's your best stuff is off the cuff. And it's not something that you practice or you write down and reading off of a cue card or anything like that. A lot of the best stuff comes when you're just who you are. So if you want to get into the radio business, you want to have 300 episodes on a radio show, be you. Don't try to be somebody else or beat somebody else. Just be who you are and bring it. Just be excited about it. Smile behind the mic because they can see that. That's what another thing I was told. I don't know if that's true. I'm sticking on my tongue. Did you see that? I don't think so. Be who you are. And I don't know. The whole radio voice thing, it works when you're a DJ, but it doesn't work when you're doing a paranormal radio show. Just enunciate, be clear, take short pauses. Those little things. Just practice, man. Just practice. Be who you are. And I've been who I am, and that's why I love doing the show. I continue to bring the show to you guys each and every week. And next week, I don't normally forecast the news, but next week, yes, Punxsutawney Phil. What's he going to say on Thursday? We'll find out on Tuesday. Sure, you'll hear all about it in the meantime. I've been out there before to Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. Got to meet Phil once. It was a little sad. He was locked in the library. I guess I'd be excited to be locked in the library. Of course, it's kind of like that Twilight Zone episode where the guy wanted so bad to read his books, and then he broke his glasses and couldn't read the books. Poor Phil, he's locked in the library, but he can't reach the books. He's probably pretty nearsighted too. But anyway, we'll talk that, and we'll talk MUFON stats. Hopefully, we'll get those MUFON stats from Audrey Hamilton tomorrow. Wow, already. It's February. Good grief. Anyway, huge thanks to Cindy for bringing me in out of the cold and giving me a place to find a home for the Paranormal News Insider here on WCJV Digital Broadcasting, for producing a great, fantastic show. So I don't have to worry about doing that myself. Really appreciate that. And for all the hard work that she does, Dita, and my goodness, it's hard to do this kind of stuff. You have no idea. And Paul there too as well. He's pitched in and done what he can for the network. And it's a great network. That's can't say it enough. And he's not here. I don't see. For Frank Lee too as well. He does a lot of the technical stuff here for the network. He does a fantastic job. So everybody, Dita, yeah, I guess. Thanks. For your keeping me going, I guess, and doing what you do. And everybody else that shows up, Jim, Cheryl, Audrey, who's out there somewhere. I don't know where she's at. She's out there in area. Hopefully that event's going on. I hope that's great for her as well. So thank you to everybody else for tuning in for 300 shows. I appreciate it. And you are the driving force behind me showing up each and every week. Anybody that downloads this program or listen to it, even if you made fun of it, I don't care. I appreciate it that you took the time to listen and that you appreciated it. And all the communication that I've received over the last few days from people sending me emails for questions and thanking me, I do appreciate that as well. It means a lot. And I don't know, it kind of just sank in the last couple of days. I wasn't going to make a big deal of this, but it just kind of sank in that this is a big deal and I should take pause and celebrate that. You should too. Anytime you do anything that is an accomplishment, no matter how big or small, just take that time to pat yourself on the back and then turn your attention back to continue to move forward. So that being said, keep your eyes in the skies, your ears in the woods, the hair standing on the back of your neck, and always keep your mind slightly ajar. And above all else, don't stop believing. For the Paranormal News Insider, this is Dr. Brian D. Parsons reporting.
You are listening to WCJV Digital Broadcasting, Youngstown, New York.